the freedom that we have in our schools today to really involve God, to invite God, to bring God into our homes and our schools is so important. So we want to help parents because we know that the majority of folks who listen to us are Christian parents who want tools. How do I do this? And some have said, school's not the answer. I'm going to homeschool so I can immerse them in those beliefs and values that we agree upon. But here's the deal. Some point, they're going to go outside into the world. Mm-hmm. So if you don't give them the tools on how to defend their faith and how to stand for what they believe, you're creating kind of a perfect storm of just real anxiety, depression, feeling that overwhelming
confusion, stress. That we're seeing so much now.
The minute they hear another side point of view, they melt, and we don't want that. So, regardless if they're in the public schools, a Christian school, homeschool, we've got to help our students and our children understand what it means to have that identity and purpose in Christ.
Rock Solid Families wants to thank Maxwell Construction for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. For over 30 years, Maxwell Construction has been a leader in turning dreams into realities, building schools, banks, restaurants, and many other commercial and public facilities. Maxwell Construction has made it their priority to not just build buildings, but to build into their community. So if you have any construction needs, call them at 812-537-2200.
Welcome to the Rock Solid Families Podcast. I am Linda Hutchinson here, joined with my husband, Merle. Mm-hmm. You know, we are in the middle of October and we're celebrating our five-year anniversary. We did our anniversary show a couple weeks ago and it's been fun. We've been doing trivia, Rock Solid Family trivia. So if you are on social media and you're listening to this in the month of October, you'll have to try to come in and join us. It's been fun to hear the one of the later ones, recent ones, was about your how many years you spent in school, in the public schools. We had people 100 years.
Yeah, that was real nice. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your help.
It was kind of funny because one of our questions was how many coaching sessions have we done over the past 5 years? Mm-hmm. And I gave them a range. I said 1 to 5,000. And you know, we had like 1,200, you know, we've had 4,724 coaching sessions from October 1st of 2018 to the end of September 2023. And obviously we keep every day adding to that number.
And
but
that doesn't count our fitness classes.
No.
Right? And that doesn't count our podcast shows or the time in those.
Or our classes. We just recently did a class at Greensburg Elementary. So if you're listening and you joined us for Who's the Boss, we did one of our Families Rock series at Greensburg Elementary a couple weeks ago. And man, yeah, it was great to have those parents. And so some of them have never heard of Rock Solid Family. Yep. So those are not counted in those 4,724.
And I don't say that to say, and guess what, but to say, there's just a lot of other stuff that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some people in the counseling world, I mean, they're in their office or counseling room for 6, 7, 8 hours a day. And, and so they're seeing probably more people. But we want to do things also on the proactive side. And so that's why the teaching, and that's why getting out in the schools and doing podcasts, that's why that's also part. And that's part we don't want to give up. So so we got probably a few less counseling sessions or coaching sessions than maybe if somebody else were doing counseling for 5 years, but we're heavy on a lot of other things.
Well, and that brings up our topic that we're talking about bringing God to school. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're going to be talking about helping parents and students get a better understanding, like, what are our religious freedoms that you can do in the public school setting today? You spent 32 years.
Oh, you just gave out an answer on the trivia.
It's already gone. But, you know, 32 years in the public school setting. And so, you know, we're going to talk about, where's that line between church and state, and what do we do to help our students be prepared, be equipped to really face the darkness in this world today?
Yeah. Well, I've kind of got a little bit of a pushback, not on the topic, but on so much of the comments that you get. So many people today are saying, you know, God has been pushed out of the school. He's been pushed out of the school. And I understand why they would say that. And I've said that myself. Okay. But, if you're listening to the show today, we are going to be talking a lot from our reference of where we live and our community. And maybe it's not, no community is perfect, but, you know, some of the things that we've gotten to see. And what I'll tell you is that, you know, you might hear on the radio and articles that you read and stuff that God's being pushed out, but that's not what we see here in our area schools in Southeast Indiana.
Yeah.
We are being invited into schools. You have been doing this for years now, but the Synergy program, which is kind of a middle school, just opportunity to bring kids together around Christian or biblical kinds of lessons before school.
Yes.
Right. And so
voluntarily, they don't have to go.
Nobody's made to go. Yeah. And there's well over 100 kids attend that every week.
Yeah.
You know,
it's crazy.
And so there are Bible studies before school. Mm-hmm. There are See at the poll rallies, there's FCA, there's kids walking around with Christian t-shirts and stuff. And I can tell you from my experience when I was in high school, you would have never seen any of that. You might, I think I do remember an FCA group back in our high school, but you know, now you're seeing a lot of these things. And so I push back a little bit from the idea of saying, oh, God's been pushed out, to say, I don't know right now. I think there's been enough opportunity. If we want to seize it, there's enough opportunity to actually have God in the school.
You know, hon, we recently attended a pregnancy care banquet and in our local community, and there was a speaker there who speaks around the country, and she was only like 21 years old, maybe 20 years old. And she started speaking about the right to life when she was 16 years old. And she spoke, hon, and she was so eloquent. I think her name was Autumn Higashi, I think it was.
Yeah, it was kind of a different
But she's
last name.
Involved in the Students for Life program. It's a national organization of students, high school and college students, who really promote the right to life and fighting for the unborn. And, you know, it, from a biblical perspective, you know, these are Christian men and women and young men and women. And I was so impressed with what she was saying and how she spoke and what she's been through. And hun, it was really so cool because she said something that I'll not forget. She said, Gen Z is having a revival. That they are coming out of the woodwork and finding God.
They're the most pro-life group generation that she's that we've seen, actually. Totally.
Yeah. And so she was really encouraged by what she's seeing, and we are too. Like, we are seeing a resurgence of faith and hope and trust in the Lord, because, hon, this world has been getting very dark, and our students are so desperate for hope that they're seeking it. They're searching for it. And so we want to talk today about how can we as parents, how can we as a community support our kids in finding that hope and finding their trust in something that is unshakable and that really is going to sustain them and help them thrive in life.
Yeah. So let me make a statement here that I think we might step on some toes with this, but I think that's actually more to the core. When we talk about maybe God being somewhat pushed out of the schools, I might argue, at least again, I'm going to speak from the area that we live in, that the schools have not so much pushed out God, but rather our families have not let God into their home. So we have, there's a whole different competition for the time. Mm-hmm. and it used to be God occupied a lot of time, but mm-hmm. now there's sports and there's activities and there's other mm-hmm. distractions.
Social media.
Many of our homes yeah. are not bringing our kiddos up with a presence of God or an understanding. And so because of that, we have many, many more kids today bringing ungodly sort of beliefs into the school, which is, again, going to give the school a different flavor than you might have seen 40 mm-hmm. or 50 years ago. So I would push back to say, hey, let's not blame the schools, because as we always talk about, let's go start in our own home.
Yeah. But before we go further into that, we got some great discussion about that. We want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions and Maxwell Construction for their support of messages like this. And so we're so thankful for them and the Rock Solid Families podcast, but really just supporting the ministry of Rock Solid Families. And if this is a new ministry to you and you've never heard of this organization, we really encourage you just to check us out at rocksolidfamilies.org. We are speaking and referencing really the greater Cincinnati area, mm-hmm. which, yes, we are in the Midwest and we're dealing with Midwestern values and backgrounds. And so we know that if you're listening to us in Seattle, Washington or Miami, Florida, it's going to be a different take. Or we've got people who listen to us from South Africa and Belgium, I mean, all over the world. So this is possible, though, where you live. Mm-hmm. And it starts, as you said, hon, in the home.
Yeah.
And what is the priority? What is the emphasis? What is the attitude toward God, toward the Bible, toward the Christian community in your home?
Yeah. All right. So I don't want to bore you, but I'm going to bore you a little, okay?
No, this isn't boring. This is actually very interesting.
Yeah, so just to kind of set the record straight, again, because I think sometimes we catastrophize different mm-hmm. things in the news, mm-hmm. and we see something bad, and we go, oh my gosh, it's really bad, all mm-hmm. right? And so you see, like we've talked about, maybe some things that are not good in schools or our community. And again, we're going to speak from Indiana, but I also know that this is more prevalent across the country than just here in Indiana, yeah. okay? But to set the record straight, I'm going to read a part of the Indiana
Code. Don't read the whole thing.
That's what I told you. I'm not going to bore you to death. Mm-hmm. But the Indiana Code of Student Religious Civil Liberties. And I'm going to read just the first paragraph of this because this is not our wording. This is through the laws. This is what our legislator here in Indiana, legislative branch, has actually put together. It says, this is section 4, public school students may pray or engage in religious activities or religious expressions before, during, and after the school day in the same manner and to the same extent that students may engage in non-religious activities or expression. Students may organize prayer groups, religious clubs, or other religious gatherings before, during, and after school to the same extent that students are permitted to organize other non-curricular student activities or groups, A public school may indicate in writing, orally, or both, that the religious activity does not reflect the endorsement, sponsorship, position, or expression of the public school. See, guys, like what they're saying here is the school's not, they don't have to endorse it, but the students themselves can actually put these things together. And so I think like there's much more to this, but I don't want to read all of it.
Yeah.
But from the beginning there, it even talks, even the idea that says before, during, and after.
Yeah.
Like there, it is okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay for kids to be talking about God. It's okay to be praying. Mm-hmm. It's okay to carry your Bible in our schools. And so let's not throw the whole baby out with the bathwater with the idea it's God is dead in the schools.
Religious groups, it says, must be given the same access to school facilities for assembling as it gives other non-curricular groups without discrimination based on religious content of the student's expression. And so that tells us that there's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. For instance, we just a couple weeks ago had students who gathered before a football game for tailgating by a religious youth group.
Right.
And after the football game, they had what they called fifth quarter, which was sponsored by the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and Young Life, which is another national organization of students gathering together and praying and encouraging one another and hanging out together. And man, that is just so powerful for our kids to be around. And I think the schools, hon, even the public schools, because this is what we found in Synergy, they want positive things for their students. Mm-hmm. They want a place where where they can learn and grow and have friendships. You know, our whole month of October, we're talking about identity and purpose at Synergy. Mm-hmm. Like, who are you in Christ? Not yep. what the world says, not what your friends say, not what that bully says. Who are you? How did Christ make you? He didn't make junk. He didn't make mistakes. And so, man, why would anyone, and I know that there's some, then not want that, mm-hmm. want that hope. And we know that because we've had that pushback mm-hmm. actually on social media of just the hate, mm-hmm. right? The hate that comes with not wanting anyone to experience that.
Well, hon, here's the kickback. And that is all of these, and at least in our area, I've never heard otherwise, but all of these have to be optional. Mm-hmm. They have to be just things that are offered and kids can come and go as mm-hmm. they please. And that is the key. Yeah. And so I think sometimes people who push back talk about, mm-hmm. well, there's indoctrination of mm-hmm. kids, there's forcing of kids. And you have to be very clear, like, no, mm-hmm. I mean, the kids that come into these groups, it is their choice. If their parents yeah. make them, that's between them and their parents. But yeah. the schools cannot push, and even the churches can't push
right.
And you know, yeah. demand that these kids attend these.
So when we had this really ugly display on social media, it was following a See You at the Poll post that we put on our Rock Solid Families page. It's been taken down since then because it got really foul. And it got really nasty by people who do not want any of that in the schools. And they think that it's literally a slippery slope to evil. And they kind of said, I grew up with that. And mm-hmm. Look what it did to me. And so they talked about mental health issues or abuse and things like that. And so I'm just going to say, when you see that nasty pushback, when you see that nasty response, it's usually coming from an unhealed wound, mm-hmm. whether there was some abuse, whether there was some misconduct by someone in the church or in the home that they trusted in. And that's usually where it comes from. And they've just thrown the baby out with the bathwater and everything.
That's
now
the second time we've used that.
In
that's
here
good.
Today?
Yeah.
Today? Mm-hmm. Well, but I'm serious. Like, just because that's your experience, mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry you experienced that, but get help for that. Don't just completely wipe out the good that can happen when we bring God into the schools.
You're so right. I think so much of church hurt or religious hurt has come mm-hmm. from a personal experience from from person to person or mm-hmm. church to person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is a shame that all of that happens. But yeah. that's because that's man's nature. That's yeah. how it is, because man struggles with his own selfishness and his own sin, that those things happen even within something like a church.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important that you boil things down to God's word rather than mm-hmm. a human word or even church. You have to be very careful at church, yeah. you know, because we all know people who've been hurt mm-hmm. Within church settings and by church people. So
yeah.
again, we just have to be careful. But to your point, if you've been hurt by mm-hmm. a person in the church or the church body itself, then seek mm-hmm. to get it healed. Yeah. Either go talk to a preacher or go get some counsel, because yeah. you don't, as you said, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. You don't throw Jesus and the teachings of Jesus out because of that, because there's so much more richness mm-hmm. in your life to have that.
Well, and if you choose to do that and you just sling hate and anger and bitterness yeah. and resentment and unforgiveness, you're the one that stays stuck. You're the one that's going to be caught in this real quicksand of just ugliness. And we don't want that for you. We want to help you heal the hurts the right way.
Yeah, well, you made me think, you know, I've heard people argue before that Christianity has caused so many wars across mm-hmm. the globe for so many years. And I would say, well, Christianity was maybe involved from a human perspective, but how about this? Christianity has involved and has created so much medical mm-hmm. care, health care, mm-hmm. education,
hospitals,
mm-hmm. orphanages and adoption. Mm-hmm. And so we tend to want to let ourselves drift to the negative for mm-hmm. where we have been hurt. But let's not discount what the word of mm-hmm. God here has actually done, that has mm-hmm. created more things and more blessings in our lives than anything else, and towards the negative.
Yeah. And again, God God's big God, and so we don't have to sit here and try to defend him. He is his nature, his character, his track record. He loves you. So whether you believe us or not, or agree with us or not, the point is that the freedom that we have in our schools today to really involve God, to invite God, to bring God into our homes and our schools is so important. So we want to help parents, because we know that the majority of folks who listen to us are Christian parents who want tools. How do I do this? And some have said, school's not the answer. I'm going to homeschool so I can immerse them in those beliefs and values that we agree upon. But here's the deal. Some point, they're going to go outside into the world. Mm-hmm. So if you don't give them the tools on how to defend their faith and how to stand for what they believe, you're creating kind of a perfect storm of just real anxiety, depression, mm-hmm. feeling that overwhelming
confusion, stress. That we're seeing so much now.
The minute they hear another side point of view, they melt, and we don't want that. So regardless if they're in the public schools, a Christian school, homeschool, we've got to help our students and our children understand what it means to have that identity and purpose in Christ.
All right, so let's get more practical.
Yep.
And let's talk about actually how we can have God in the school, but even broader than that, how mm-hmm. we can actually, as in our homes and in our families, how we can approach this, all mm-hmm. right? And so I want to read Joshua 1:9, and because Joshua 1:9 just kind of reminds us of who we are and who he is. Verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Mm. God's nature, we tend to want to put God in little shoeboxes, right? And we pull him out
and
when we want.
And in a church down the street.
Yeah, and God's nature is present everywhere. His way will always prevail. It will always prevail. And we are the only ones who will try to trip it up, okay? But it doesn't stop being his nature. And so the idea here is understand, listen, whether you deny God and his nature doesn't take him away.
Yeah,
I mean, God is always there.
It's so funny,
knowing that.
As you're saying that verse, the children's minister in me has a song in the back of my head.
Guys,
and I'm not
going to
sing the song.
No.
But my point is that starting with little toddlers and preschoolers, I would gather them together at our church and I would teach them Joshua 1:9, and I would tell them he's there wherever you go. And man, they would shout and they would jump and they would sing. And man, my hope is that we planted those seeds and those truths so that when they go home or they go to school, they take God with them. And we would tease about, is he in your car? Even if the door is locked, is he in your room? Even if you're hiding, like, and they would, like, little guys were like, no, like, no, God is wherever you go. And so, yeah, make sure you bring God in, make him present in your home, and then start your kids understanding the word of God, because that's what's going to protect their heart. I work with families and couples and individuals all the time, and we talk about putting that boundary up around your heart, and that boundary is God's word for protection.
Yeah, so you named basically two things there, right? You talked about the idea of we start in our home, and then starting with God's word, teaching the actual understanding. And again, you start everything from little kids' Bibles and speaking age appropriately to them. And the next thing we're talking about is the idea of, even at a very young age, and we wish we saw more of this because we're seeing the outcomes even through the early teen years, starting to teach your kids identity as it is seen through the eyes of God, not the eyes of this world. The world will use phrases like, you're cool, or you're a nerd, or you're strange, or you're funny. Those are worldly defined versus God's definition is that you are created uniquely and perfectly by him. You may not know exactly why you were created, but that's us finding our purpose and starting to plug it in. But your identity comes through God and not through man's assigning of it.
Yeah, I heard someone recently was questioning their identity and gender identity. And someone asked them, well, where are you looking? Where are you looking for that identity? And you know what they said? Google.
Google it.
That's where they're finding their identity. And when you Google, to look for your identity, you're going to find a whole pot load of garbage. And so if that's, or other people, right? What other people say or think about you, like you said. So help your children, help yourself understand your identity and purpose in Christ and not what the world says.
How about let's move to the next point, because now we'll start to move it out of our house. And the first thing would be to be supportive of this. We're talking about moving, you know, God in the school and other places. If you come in and you're always angry and, and you're defensive and you're attacking, you're not going to get a lot of cooperation from the school. And so the school does not have the mission right off the bat to, their mission is not to bring Jesus to your kid. Their mission is totally different. It's education. And so be cooperative with your school and your staff, especially if they have not done anything, all right, to cause any problems. If you go in there with a chip on your shoulder, right away, you're going to find lots of pushback. So instead, volunteer for things. Be involved with stuff. Show them God's love and service just through your efforts so that they start to go, hey, we really like this person. I'm just going to, I'm going to go to Mr. Frank Henniger right here. This is a guy that we've talked about him before on shows, but he shows us what true love is without all of the labels that we have to attach to people.
He's not a preacher. And, a priest.
And he goes into our schools, and whether kids say they are Christians or not, he just treats them great. He has fun with them.
Fist bumps,
he loves
fives.
On them. And so it is that that has now schools call him and say, "Will you please come in our school?" Because he brings such a positivity climate through that school, and it's all based in the foundation of he's just trying to live and act like Christ. And so that right there is an example of how we can bring God into school.
You know, when we were speaking at a school recently, we were I was walking the halls, and up above on the ceiling, they had all of these character qualities, positive attitude, hardworking, integrity, honesty. And hun, you said it during our session at that school that, you know, the school is there to reinforce, hopefully, the values that you've already started in your home. It's not their job to give them faith or give them the values. They're there to reinforce some positive, healthy things that hopefully started before the kids ever got into your school building. And so, but the problem is, and you saw this in the elementary school, a lot of times the school was the one teaching them honesty and hard work and trustworthiness. Like, that's not where it begins. So support the school, and don't create division or anger or chaos. It's really the kids are the ones that suffer.
Especially if you find yourself with a limited choice of school. You know, we hear a lot about school choice. Well, we happen to live in an area that's somewhat sparse on other schools. I mean, there's not like we have 20 different schools that our kids or families can choose from. And so you really want to be the positive that feeds into that school.
Don't, number five, don't make your mission a distraction from the purpose of the school. The school is not the church. And so, you know, you might want to evangelize, but that's not the school's job. And really, if you push that, then you're really going to divide them and make them have to have that hard line of not letting you in the building or not letting your group meet, that they still have a mission. And that is the academic, emotional welfare of all students, not just the Christian ones.
Let's talk about number six. Where can we sort of stand up stronger and make it more of our mission? Guys, this is something that I think sometimes we just feel is worthless, like, oh, it's never going to matter. But the bottom line, in this country, we have an opportunity to vote and influence how things come together through our laws and through our legislators. And so the idea here is, you know, the schools are kind of just doing whatever's directed from a higher level of government or law. And so if you really want to impact or influence these things, then you better get back to the voting booth, and you better start to think about, well, who am I putting in these offices? When you say, gosh, everything around here has gone so liberal and they're kicking God out. Well, how did those people get voted in? And so we have to stand up strong in these areas, and we have to vote, and we have to do the research to say, you know, what's this person stand for?
Good point, hon. You've got to get educated. I mean, early on in my life, I admit I did not become educated when I voted. And that's sad to even admit to. But now I realize how important it is, and I've got to be educated on where my vote is going.
I think it's the seventh thing here is to actually to help other people understand God. Because mm-hmm. like I said before, a lot of people want to have a very set picture, like a predetermined face of God. He's mm-hmm. the old man with the beard that walks around mm-hmm. with the staff, you know. Mm-hmm. And instead, to actually just giving God glory for mm-hmm. all that is in your life. And mm-hmm. and just saying, you know, when something good or whatever's happening in your life, mm-hmm. to give God the glory so that... Right now, we are in such a selfish and egotistical mm-hmm. Generation mm-hmm. that whatever we do, we want the trophy and we want to put it on our mm-hmm. shirt. We want to say how great we are.
Take the credit.
Yeah. And so by doing that, it's a competition. Mm-hmm. Well, my trophy's bigger than yours, mm-hmm. right? And so instead, whenever you're blessed by something, to actually recognize where the blessing came from. You know what? Mm-hmm. I happen to be pretty good at sports because God made me that way. Yeah. I didn't do it.
When
people start to see that mm-hmm. your greatness is mm-hmm. a reflection of God's work, and that's who you're giving credit to, they kind of look at you differently. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, this guy's not arrogant at all. He's just serving his purpose.
Yeah, that was my hope and dream for our anniversary show, that we just kind of, you know, gave God the glory, that we just kind of bragged on him of what yep. he's done in the past 5 years. And we know it was not us. Like, he is.
Oh, no, we just screwed it up really. Yeah.
Man, we are so thankful and blessed. So that's number seven. Number eight.
You know, you as the adult or the parent, you got to know your why for God. Why, you know, I think so often we've just pushed on our lack of faith or ignorance of faith to our kids, like, well, you know, we should go to church. Guys, you should treat each other nice, but you don't know the why. Mm. And so the cornerstone of our faith, we better be stronger at understanding actually why we need faith in something that is unchanging, mm. something that is loving, and something that is life-giving, like why, you know, mm-hmm. why we have forgiveness and grace and truth and all these things. And so you as the adult, this is a push to you to say, boil things down and figure out your why. Yeah. If you're just going to church because you've traditionally always done that and you check the box off on Sunday so you can hurry up and get home and do your thing, then listen, I've been guilty, right? Mm-hmm. But go back and go, why do I actually do this? Mm-hmm. And if you don't know why you do it, then it's time for you to do some work, because you're going to ask your kids to do that. Otherwise, they are going to just walk out, because kids are not, they don't want to waste their time on stuff that has no meaning to them.
That is so good, hon. And I've heard that so many times when it comes to passing our faith on to our kids. It can't just be about the what. It's got to be helping them see why. Why do you believe? Why do you live this life? And then give them the freedom. What is your why? Mm-hmm. Why do you do this?
Yep.
Because if their why, it can't be just because your why. You know, they've got to figure that out on their own. So please stop pushing down their throat the what, and start helping them discover and explore the why, and make sure you know, like you said, because, man, our kids can smell a fake a mile away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number nine is stop your whining. I didn't say that in here, but that's kind of what I'm thinking as I go through these notes. It's like, stop your whining. We can complain all day long about how bad the next generation is, how bad society is. And, you know, you might have merit on some of those complaints, but the complaining does nothing more than add fuel to the people who are listening to you, especially if they're influential kids. And they go, you know, gosh, if dad's not happy, then I'm not going to be happy about this. And so rather than going into the complaint, listen, I have a rule on Strong Dads, and Linda and I kind of follow this as well here. I'll give you about 5 or 10 minutes to complain or present the problem. But everybody knows the problem once it's presented. We don't have to keep talking about it. Mm. Let's spend the rest of the show, okay, on the solutions. And that's what we are doing right now. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, here are things you can do. And so taking action rather than just getting stuck in the whining and complaining, close your mouth and use your body and go to work.
Yeah, and the last one is help teach your children to be a bold witness of their faith, no matter where they are. And, you know, Hun, we have five children, and our youngest are 18 and 15, and they're still in high school. And our 18-year-old's a senior, right? Mm. And so she this year became one of the student leaders of Young Life. Mm. And so just the other night, she was really tempted to skip Bible study because she was tired. And she texted me and she said, I think I'm going to stay home. I had so much homework and I'm really tired. And then 5 minutes later, I didn't even say anything. She texts back and says, I'm going. I'm a leader and I need to be there. And good, I was like, you know, she is realizing, like, I've got a job to do. I have friends out there who are lost, who don't know the hope that I have. And so if I don't share who is, and so our youngest, he just said the other day that he's doing a devotion next week at FCA in the morning before school. And so I'm so proud of them, of like leading by their example. But I will just say, and we've told our kids this too, it can't be just words. Mm-hmm. It has to be in our attitude and the way that we act out in public and the way we treat people. And so it's not just what we say. It's got to be what we do.
All right. So we just gave 10 things, but can I add one? Oh, let me add one
bonus.
Last one. Bonus.
Okay.
Okay. Just thought of this. All right. So if we're talking about what the law is of what you can do in schools concerning God and faith and prayer, and we really, at least per Indiana, have a lot of latitude to do mm-hmm. that, then how about let's, as outsiders from the school, we have to be the ones, and hon, I'm going to give you so much credit for this because you are much more on fire and have vision and energy to do this, and that is that you initiate bringing God in, because you're an outsider from the school. Mm-hmm. You're not, but you initiate, hey, how about at this school we have a Bible study? How about we do this synergy mm-hmm. program? How about we do the Sea at the Pole? So parents, moms, dads, if you're listening to this, how about you initiate? Mm-hmm. Don't put it on the school. You initiate.
Yeah.
The schools will oftentimes open their door to you and say, yeah, you know, as long as you're doing it, that's mm-hmm. fine. But you have to take the initiative to do that. So initiating, organizing, and supporting all things that would really represent the God's way in your community, in your school. That's a big takeaway from this.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, Young Life is a national organization that you can initiate and you can invite in your community. Good News Club is an after-school Bible study program that's, I think it's nationwide, if not just the Midwest, but you can invite that little after-school program. FCA, I was involved in FCA in college even, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, our kids at the high school. So there's so many organizations and opportunities that you can fund, you can support, you can invite, you can involve yourself in. Look around. There might be something already happening that you just weren't aware of, your kids aren't involved in. And we really encourage you because, man, if you can get them around healthy, positive community, everybody wins. And that is just what we want for our students and our families.
All right. So that was kind of our challenge.
Yeah.
The idea here of just going out and getting involved in these different activities. Mm-hmm. So take a look at your own community. We do feel blessed in our community. We love mm-hmm. being part of our community. Mm-hmm. Many times we've thought, you know, gosh, should our kids go to a private mm-hmm. school or whatever? Mm-hmm. And it can listen, you can find whatever you want, whatever you're looking mm-hmm. for, right? And so, but if your school's mm-hmm. falling apart around you, then we might challenge you by saying, what are you doing to make it better and different? And so this is your chance to actually rally the troops, get involved, and bring in the goodness of God and his ways. Mm-hmm. And so it's time for you to make an assessment and see what you can do.
Okay, so I'm just going to put a little plug. I mean, I'm going to give a tangible way, if you live in the Southeast Indiana area, to support something good.
I know what you're doing with this.
What?
Donut money. I know what you're doing with this.
We spend $100 a week on donuts for over 100 kids. But you know, that's something that our group has rallied around and gained support for and put out of our own pocket. And so if you want to just a tangible way, you can support us with donut money.
It wasn't bad when Synergy only had like 20 or 30 kids show up. But now when you got 120.
We have 140 kids registered.
Yeah, that's a just lot in October. Of donuts. So if you want to donate, and we will make sure that money gets earmarked.
Speaking of which, Mr. Frank has, and a lot of it went out of his pocket.
Yeah, personally,
He insisted. That's a hook that brings the kids. If it's just for a donut, man, but that gives us the opportunity to speak about hope and truth and love to them.
And just show them fun and enjoyment. Like sometimes the Christian life to so many is painted as a drab, ho-hum, boring kind of existence. And if you know Mr. Frank, you know quickly that that's not the case. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, guys, we hope that this show was hopefully an upbeat show for you to recognize that things are not all bad.
God's and not dead.
He's never going to be dead, right? Mm-hmm. We could be dead in him, but he won't be dead in us. And so the idea here is we've got some great things going. Don't just give up the ship here with this and you know, feel reinvigorated and bring this back into your home. So we hope that it's helpful in that way. If we can help you, if you feel like, man, we've been influenced so much by the world and our home or our marriage, and maybe you're starting to see the cracks in the foundation due to that, and from children's behavior or the marriage getting weak, reach out and get some help. If we can help you at Rock Solid Families, you know, you can go to our website, rocksolidfamilies.org. You can call our office at 812-576-7625. Get in touch. If it's not us, talk to your preacher or your priest or somebody that says that can give you some solid grounding in where can I get started to bring my family back to health.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening. Again, if you want to connect with us, rocksolidfamilies.org is the easiest way. There's even a donate button there if you want to support what we're doing in the local schools or in our community. But in the meantime, we want to thank our sponsors, Casey's Outdoor Solutions and Maxwell Construction, for their support, continued support of the Rock Solid Families podcast and what we're doing at Rock Solid Families.
Great job, hon. So thanks again for listening to Rock Solid Families podcast, building a stronger community, one family at a time. Make it a great day. Rock Solid Families wants to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. Casey's has grown to be one of the largest and most unique garden centers and gift shops in the Cincinnati tri-state area. Whether you are looking to take on that next landscape project or simply add a little home decor to your house, Casey's has you covered. Located at 21481 State Line Road, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Call them today at 812-537-3800. Let Casey's help you add beauty to your home.